Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Our next guest has a book that just hit paperback. It's Better to be Feared. It's about the Brady Belichick era Patriots. You know him and love him from ESPN. He is Seth Wickersham, and he is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, Seth. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing good.
Hi, Seth.
Although our defense is all banged up this week, we're hoping that I don't even know what to think about Myles Garrett. I mean, the guy got in a car wreck on Monday, and there are little rumors floating around that he probably wants to play on Sunday. And I'm just like, man, give the guy a break. I mean, he was in a car wreck that flipped over twice. Maybe he could take a week off from football. What do you think?
Oh, man, I have no idea. I wish that I had some insight into that. I honestly have no idea. I guess that Miles will do whatever Miles feels like doing, and the team will probably go with whatever it is he says.
That's a fair assessment. I think we've said the same thing. We're on the same page. We're all good.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know, that's like one of those weird things. I honestly have no idea. And, you know, the compulsion to play is something that, even though we all study football as closely as we can, you guys do, we all try, I still think that we don't quite understand it, just how driven these guys are and how much pain a lot of them play through. Like,
yep.
Just the raw pain, I think it's just easy to forget, because once they step on the field, you kind of just expect them to go, right? I mean, you'd expect – nobody's thinking about guys being injured when they play. They just expect them to do whatever it is they're supposed to do because they're out on the stage.
Yeah, I think the bigger thing, too, is that no one – thinks about how hurt they are when they're done playing. We've talked about the concussions, but there's a lot of guys in a lot of pain that were playing, you know, 20, 30 years ago, still to this day, that are in pain from it. So that's a great point, Seth.
I agree.
Yeah.
Seth, I am wondering, in all of your research for your book, It's Better to be Feared, did Bill Belichick tolerate Tom Brady, or did Tom Brady tolerate Bill Belichick, or did they tolerate each other?
Well, there was different stages. I think that there was the early stage where it was clear that Bill had won the lottery with Tom. I mean, obviously he drafted him in the sixth round, but didn't know what he had. Nobody did. And he also developed him so well. So, like, you know, when they won their first three Super Bowls, you know, Belichick, Ernie Adams, Scott Pioli, all those guys were really coaching Tom hard, and he was dying for that kind of feedback. He just wanted it so bad. Then they kind of hit the middle part where, like, it was a little touch and go for a while. Like, when they weren't winning Super Bowls during that decade span, Spygate happened. Brady comes to Belichick back on that. You know, they come up just short against the Giants a couple times in Super Bowls. Brady has a really tough contract negotiation around 2010, I think, 2011, something like that. And, you know, there's a lot of people who thought that if L.A. had a team back then, Brady might have tried to force a team to L.A. because he was forced to trade. Because you remember, he was spending a lot of time out in L.A. with Gisele Bündchen and living in that huge house in the Brentwood Hills. And then, you know, there was kind of the end where they won three more Super Bowls, but there was, like, an undercurrent of strain. There was Deflategate fallout and the fact that Belichick kind of put that in Brady's lap. There was a lot of tense contract negotiations with Brady wanting to play until he was age 45, the age he is right now, and Bill just wanting to be more cautious and take it year to year. You know, Bill kicking out Alex Guerrero, Brady's trainer and business partner. There's just a lot of things that came up, and I think that, like, the tension that kind of boiled to the end of it really meant that, like, I think Tom was tolerating Bill more than vice versa at the end. But for the most part, I mean, these are type A personalities. These are really competitive, driven people who have a wealth of knowledge. And it's amazing that they were able to stay together and be so productive for so long.
You mentioned a little bit ago a list of guys who were with Bill Belichick here in Cleveland, Ernie Adams and Scott Pioli. And they went with him to New England in many cases. I know Ernie Adams was kind of like the brain behind the scenes that nobody knew, and Ernie liked it that way. But did Bill ever talk much about what his 5 years in Cleveland did for him as a coach? Because we see so many of the same characteristics and have ever since he's been in New England, but there are other things that are different too. Was that a huge factor for him?
Well, I think it broke him. I mean, like... I mean, it annihilated his professional and personal life when Art Modell moved the team. And, I mean, he took the fall for that. And he made a lot of mistakes in Cleveland. And some of them, you know, I think he tried to get better at. Ironically, press conferences and dealing with the press, that's one of the things that he tried to do. But other things, he's the exact same guy. I mean, you know, I think it was in 1993, Belichick had 15 coaches on his Cleveland Browns staff and no offensive coordinator. Right now, he has a lot of coaches on his staff and no offensive coordinator. And when you look back and read his quotes from back then, they are exactly the same as they are now, where, you know, you hear him say, we all pitch in, we know how to coach offense, blah, blah, blah. I do think, and this is what always been told to me, and I don't know if Bill would ever admit to this, but I do think that things fell apart so fast in Cleveland, and he lost control of what happened because it literally what was happening was beyond his control, that when he got his second chance, he was going to control everything and leave as little to chance as possible. And I believe, and I've been told by people, that I think that that's where a lot of the genesis of Spygate comes in, where, you know, they were warned by the league three times to stop filming, and yet they didn't do it. Part of it was arrogance, and the other part of it is that, like, you just never know how the games are going to go. And that one play that you have anticipation on, however you got that anticipation from a study or illegally filming signals, might be the difference in the game. And I think that when he got back to New England, knowing that it was his last best chance to be a head coach, he was going to leave as little to chance as possible. I mean, I'm sorry, when he got to New England.
You know, I think that what's interesting, too, about Bill, too, is the coaching tree, that the guys that have come through, and then I just, you know, what are his thoughts on that? And the guys that I think about, like Charlie Weiss and Eric Mangini was here, and you know, just what are your thoughts on
Josh
that?
McDaniels.
Well,
Josh,
I mean, I write a lot about it in the book, and I think that one of the most interesting things is that what interested me most is not really Charlie Weiss or Romanio Cornell, because those guys were kind of established coaches that Bill brought with him. I was always fascinated with the guys who Bill saw as little Bills, Josh McDaniels, Eric Mangini, Matt Patricia to a certain extent, these guys that he plucked at a young age and was essentially like their, gave them their PhD in football. And I think that, you know, by the time that the first iteration of his coaching tree was really getting popular, when, you know, so many people out of his personnel group and his coaching staff were populating teams in, like, you know, 2006, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, around that time, Bill had become such a cultural presence and such a presence in their lives that, like, they mimicked him when they were up there. It's like they weren't trying to do it, but they almost couldn't help themselves, that they were just kind of reading according to the only script that they had ever known. And people like Eric Mangini, Josh McDaniels, Scott Pioli, those guys have very different personalities than Bill Belichick. And yet, when it came to, like, running a team, they were so different. And, you know, they just did it in a Belichickian style. And I think the players saw right through that. And it's one of the most interesting things that I think you see now. Josh McDaniels is obviously not off to a great start in Vegas, but you haven't heard, like, the same refrains coming from that team. I mean, that team is holding together despite the fact that they haven't won a game. And Josh has learned from his mistake in Denver and is really trying to coach a team in his own way. Now, if they start 0-8, he might revert back to the only thing he knows. But right now, he's held that team together pretty well, considering how the first iteration, you know, the first time he was a head coach, how that went.
Does Belichick allow coaches to have personality and to be different than him?
Sure. Oh, I think so.
Okay.
I definitely think so. And I mean, I think that, like, you know, these guys are so buried with work to do that, you know, there isn't a lot of time to, like, think about who has a personality or who doesn't. I just think that it's interesting to me that, like, you know, here you have these men who were just formed by Belichick at such a young age that when they got their chance and they were behind the microphone, they just went, like, reverted back to what they knew and what they had seen. And as we've seen, there is only one Bill Belichick. There's only one guy who runs a team and organization the way that he does, and there's only one guy who runs press conferences the way that he does.
I am kind of looking ahead to this week, too, and thinking about, you know, you got a Clevelander there in Brian Hoyer, and I look at him and I look at the boomerang he's had with Bill for his entire career, and I can't help but think that he might have the same opportunity as Mike Vrabel somewhere down the road if he wanted to coach. I don't know if that's what he wants to do, but he follows that mold. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't know anything about Hoyer and coaching. But, yeah, I mean, it's interesting how, like, someone like Vrabel, obviously, who was very, influenced by Belichick, was able to go run a team and do it in his way. And, you know, he was able to take the best things that he had learned from Belichick and apply it in his own way. And I think that, like, that's part of the reason why he's just really successful. He studies people, but he figures out a way to do these things within his own personality. I know it sounds like a really basic thing, but, like, it's actually really hard for a lot of these coaches to not just come off like a cover band of their biggest influences in their coaching career. And, you know, I think that one of the key moments that you could tell that Vrabel had not only studied Bill but had learned from him was when the Titans beat the Patriots in the playoffs. That was, of course, Brady and Belichick's last game together. And in the fourth quarter, Vrabel exploited a clock-running loophole that Belichick had used against the Jets earlier that year, only Vrabel was using it against Bill, and Bill went nuts. But it was an example of how Vrabel was able to take something and apply it in his own way and use, you know, the bit of knowledge that he had gotten to help his team win games.
Is Bill still as good of a coach as ever?
I think that the difference is that when Brady and Belichick were together, and we kind of took this for granted, I think, as football observers for 20 years, is that, you know, they had this, like, magic that they had where, like, it was inevitable that no matter what was happening in the game, they were going to figure out a way to win. And Brady was going to make just enough passes, and Belichick was going to come up with some sort of great third down or fourth down or goal line stop, and they'd figure it out. And that certainty is gone. I mean, Brady kind of took it with him to Tampa, but it is definitely gone in New England, where I don't think that teams face Belichick and the Patriots now and feel like they're immortal and they're impossible to beat. I mean, they have been beat, and the NFL is designed to pull you back down to earth, but I don't think that Belichick's Patriots have that veneer anymore without Tom Brady. It was very special, and when Brady left, you know, that went with him, and it, you know, you don't get it again. Like, you have to get so lucky. You have to be like the Packers with, like, you know, Favre and Rodgers, or the 49ers with Montana and Young, to keep that going where you have a quarterback who can be the difference in the game as, you know, almost alone.
Seth, great stuff. Again, out on Paperbook. We get it where books are available, right?
Yep, anywhere.
Anywhere you want. Seth, we appreciate your time. Love talking to you. Maybe we talk to you a little bit closer to the Browns-Patriots in a couple weeks here, too.
We'd love that. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Seth. We appreciate it.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.